Right. Yesterday we started a discussion of geese, and today we're going to continue our discussion of geese. But there is an issue called, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, foie gras. So what is foie gras? It is when they fatten geese manually. Apparently the liver becomes very, very engorged and very delicious and very expensive. So the question is this kosher? Are you allowed to do this? Are you allowed to eat foie gras? Is that what we just said? Foie gras. So the truth is, historically, like we discussed yesterday, this was always a Jewish food. This was something that Jews did all the time because they really needed it for sustenance and for nourishment. They didn't have chickens available, and geese store the fat better, and they needed lower quality feed and all of those kinds of things. So when the issue came up, the OU did a lot of research into the issue. Rabelsky Zichron Levracha was still around at the time, and the OU gives a hashkacha, I think, when they do it not with geese but with ducks, whatever the with whatever guidelines. Now the process is that they would raise the goose normally until it reaches natural weight of about 9 pounds, and then the force feeding would start happening, where they give it 1 pound of feed 3 times a day with this machine with a tube that goes down its neck and just, you know, stuffs the food in 3 times a day, a pound of food, and that goes on for 3 weeks until the goose goes from 9 pounds to 18 pounds in a span of 3 weeks. That's like a good yuntif season, you know, and the liver grows at a disproportionate rate, and you know, 6 times its natural weight sometimes, and it's that's when it becomes really great. So some places do the force feeding manually through like a huge eyedropper kind of thing, and that could cause the feeding itself could cause the esophagus to become injured, which is a trephus issue that we're going to have to deal with. Another one of the issues is that how finely ground the food is. If the food is very finely ground, less of a likelihood that it's going to cause a hole in the esophagus on the way down. But if it's very finely ground, if it's not so finely ground, more of a chance it's going to cause a hole. The OU makes sure that it uses a corn feed that's extra fine and it's cooked like a thin oatmeal, so there's less likelihood that it's going to cause a hole on the way down. Plus, they make sure that there are botkim that inspect both the feedings as well as after the shechita to inspect the whole esophagus and make sure that there are no holes. So what are the issues? So essentially there are two issues. There's the cruelty to animals issue, and there's the issue of trephus. So let's start with the cruelty to animal issues. Most Rishonim assume Tsar Bei L'Chayim is a din d'oraisa. They're not allowed to cause cruelty to animals, and that's a din d'oraisa. Rav Asher Weiss, in one of his many pieces where he uses the term that Rav Chanan Wasserman made famous, Ratzon HaTorah, where he describes that very often you find that even though there's not a particular makor to tell you that something is usher, but you just get a sense from the Torah HaKadosh in general that something is usher, that Tsar Bei L'Chayim, there are 13 different shitos of what the source is for Tsar Bei L'Chayim, Asur Midaraisa. Where's the pasuk? It says you're not allowed to Tsar Bei L'Chayim. So the answer is there's no direct pasuk that says it, but in 13 different places, apparently, the Torah kind of says it. So the Torah indicates to us that we're not supposed to be cruel to animals, and therefore we, even though there's some achlokas in the shitos HaRambam, whether the Rambam holds Tsar Bei L'Chayim is Daraisa or Darabban, everyone holds it's Aser, and most Rishonim hold that it's an Iser Da'oraisa. So the question is this Tsar Bei L'Chayim? So there is a Tshuvas HaRamah in Simen Ayin Tes, which implies that it's not Tsar Bei L'Chayim, because the Ramah talks about a case of a goose that's in pain because it's used to being force-fed, and now it's Shabbos, and it's not being force-fed, so the Ramah's makel that you're allowed to tell a Nachri to force-feed the goose in order to take the goose out of pain, because Tsar Bei L'Chayim, you're allowed to do Amir L'Nachri in such a case. But the Rambam never discusses the idea that, wait a second, how could they be force feeding it in the first place? Isn't that a violation of Tsar Bei L'Chayim? So the impression that you get is that it's not Tsar Bei L'Chayim to force feed a goose. Obviously you don't know what Metzius exactly he's dealing with, and whether it's the same Metzius that we use when we're making foie gras. But nevertheless, that's the impression you get from the Ramah. There's even a discussion in the experts whether it really causes the geese pain, because there is a possibility, at least some suggest, that a goose does not have a gag reflex. So if someone were to stuff something down our throats, we would not be very happy about it, because we have a gag reflex. But if a goose doesn't have a gag reflex, it just goes straight on down, and it doesn't bother him that much. The indication, the counter-indication that suggests that maybe the geese don't love it so much, is normally when you give food to an animal, the animal runs right towards you to get the food, because the animal loves the people who feed it. When people go to feed the foie gras, they run away. The geese run away. They're not interested in the food. That gives you an indication that maybe this is not super geschmack for them. So pashtus is it's not something that they enjoy. Now the question is, does that necessarily mean it's sar b'lei chayim? There is a principle in sar b'lei chayim, Shmos Hadashin, Kof Hei, the Ramban al Torah, Dvarim Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Vav, and the Ramah in Eben Ezra Sibnei, Os Sif Yudalid, Paskin, and many, many other Poskin Paskin, that whenever it's some human benefit, then sar b'lei chayim doesn't apply. So this is delicious. It's a human benefit. So the counter argument is that the Chazon Ish writes in Shabbos Memchaz Zayin that whenever that there's some balance in that, meaning how much human benefit for how much tsar of animals. So yeah, human benefit, if the human benefit is that you need a horse to pull your wagon to get from one city to the next, you need an ox to pull your plow or whatever, that's human benefit, that we're, even though it may not be super geschmack for the horse or the ox to do those things, yes, that's human benefit that we're willing to say that we're not worried about tsar b'lei chayim. In fact, Rav Moshe and Eben Ezra Chel Tal Sim Tzadi Beis discusses veal. When he talks about the tsar b'lei chayim issue of veal, he writes, he said, I don't know if this is a problem with eating it, but as far as those who actually do it, who actually raise the veal, they're for sure in violation of tsar b'lechayim. Yeah, when there's a tsorech of an adam, but it's got to be a tsorech, like to shecht an animal to eat, because you don't have food otherwise, or to have it schlep your plow or your packages. Just because you make money, it doesn't mean that that's a human tzorech. So that's something that Rav Moshe suggests that would probably apply over here as well. There are even those that suggest that even if it's not tzar b'lei chayim, it's a violation of halachta bidracha, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu in general is very kind to his creatures. So for us to be mean to animals may be a violation of halachta bidracha as well. But that's one issue. That's tzar b'lei chayim issue. The other issue is the treifas issue. Now it's a much more complicated issue than a 10-minute halacha shir would allow for, but the basics of it is that the halacha is that if one of either the chitzon or the panimi of the esophagus, there's the inner white tube and the outer red tube, if either one of them is punctured but the other one is not, then the animal is not a treifa. It's only a treifa if it's punctured through and through. So the Gemara tells us, Rabba in Maseches Chulin, that you can't really tell though if there's a tiny little hole on the from the outside in the outer red layer of the esophagus, and depending on the size of the tube and the type of food that's being forced down the goose's throat, the likelihood of damaging the esophagus can sometimes be somewhat high. So there is a question in Rishonim whether it's even something we can check for. Are we going to notice when there's a very tiny hole? And it's that's a discussion in the Rishonim. It happens to be that the Ramah writes in Yardeya Simon Lamed Gimel, V'chein nagu lahakel bi'ireinu ba'osna vazel shamal itin lasus man shuman. He says, those geese that we force feed to use their fat, she'esh takana bi'ir livdok achar nekivas aveshet mishum deshchiach yosem misir chasareya. He says, we're makil that we're allowed to do it, and that we're allowed to eat it, and that we're allowed to use it, we're allowed to force feed them, but we're only makel to allow that because we have a takonim yuchedes to then have people check the esophagus. See, normally when you check the chicken, no one's checking the esophagus. When you check the chicken, they take a quick look at the insides of the chicken to see if there's anything that looks discolored or out of place or something like that for treifas. But no one's like looking that carefully. But when you're doing something like a force-fed goose, you have to be very, very careful. And he says, v'nagu l'hakol b'yashav lo kotz b'veshet imenu nakol b'shneit stadim. The minig is, if there's a thorn in the veshet, if it's not nakum yishet sudden to be mekel, or shein kar adami b'chutz, or if there's no blood congealed around it, v'yesh l'daktik b'zaharbe kihu isodareis. And the Ramo warns, got to be very careful about this bedika, because we're dealing with isodareis. So v'yosar yatov shalo livdo klal v'lisma charuba mi livdo kalakal makum bedika reisa. He says, better not to do a bedika at all than to do bedika and then ignore the problems. So he says, better to just rely on the rove than to do it. So you see that there was like this big yetzer hara Gemara to ignore these problems. So not only can it cause these problems, very often force-fed animals have difficulty eating regularly, and that may make it a treif in its own right, because if you were to stop force-feeding it, it could be that it would die within 12 months. The Darkei Tshuva in Yardei Simlam Gimel quotes the Eish Lavram, that if the force-feeding were to stop, the geese would certainly not last 12 months, which that itself might make it a treifa. So how do we pass on lachol ma'isa? What do the achronim have to say about this? So the shita of the Chasam Sofer, explained in Shari Tzedek Yerodeyosim Memdalid, is that you have to examine the inner section of the esophagus very carefully. If it's punctured or damaged on only one side, then we're matir, and we're not concerned that it punctured the second layer as well. In fact, that the Chasam Sofer's Talmidim were among those who promoted the use of force-fed geese. Then there is the sheet of the Mari Asad, that you have to examine the outer layer from the inside of it, and even if the white underlying layer is punctured, the bird is still going to be kosher. And Rav Asner recommends that you could be make like this, because both the feed as well as the process of feeding are a little bit better. They've been modified to make it a little bit better. Having said all of that, many Svardi poskim, many Hasidish poskim are very machmir about this. They don't allow eating force-fed geese at all, and there are Litvish poskim that agree as well. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Tshuvas Har Tzvi Yerodeyosim Chavav says that it was never the minhag in Eretz Yisrael to allow force feeding, and he tells whoever the Shoel that it would be a good thing to do if he succeeds in making sure that no one does this anymore. Chazanish was also opposed to this in Eretz Yisrael, according to Rav Vazner and Shevet Alevi Yerodey Chelites Simon Kuflin Gimel, and the Tzitz Eliezer and Chelik Yudbeis Simon Beis writes Ubedikas Haveshet Kasha Livdok. It's too difficult of a bedika to check the esophagus. V'kamapam Matzinu B'Poskim Shenon B'Kiyim. A lot of times we find in Poskim that there are things we're just not expert at. Ubedikas Haveshet Ubedika Kasha Lefenenu. It's just very hard to do. V'edon Yichom Lamudim Yeshom Nekav Veshet O'Hivri. We don't know if there's a hole in the veshet or if it got healed over. B'vadei Ein Lahagis Daito Baro Lahatir. So a person shouldn't have the gaiva to be makel about this. Lomar Kihu Baki. He says, and we can't go against all the Gedolim who answered it. Rav Vadia in Yabi Omer Chelik Tesi Yerodeyos and Gimel is also very against it, not because of the Treifos, but because of the Tzar Balichayim issues. So there are some poskim that are machmir because of Tzar Balichayim issues, other poskim that are machmir because of the Treifos issues, and if you're going to be makel, so like the OU is, they have to be makel with a lot of policies put in place in terms of exactly what is used, what types of tubing is used to feed the geese, what types of bedikos are done afterwards, and then there's room to be makel. Okay, everyone have a great day.